Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Welcome in there, ladies and gentlemen. It feels so damn good to do these things when the team plays well and we get to experience stuff live, and that's what this show is all about. I feel like that's why people come and have started to be paying more attention to this show, because they realize at the end of the day, it was two fans going to watch their team at their home arena in the playoffs for the home opener. Second year in a row that we've been able to make it, and it was also the same home opening game of the playoffs the last time against the Seattle Kraken. Actually, it was game two, so I stand corrected. But it was a much better experience, and throughout it all, like, that's the performance. That's what you're looking for if you're a Colorado Avalanche fan, because now you know for damn certain, if you play a good game, if you get a couple stops from your goaltender, your team is built to move forward. That is what we're here for. Bonus episode of the far end of the bench. Nico, Bryant, Jimmy Pilato at FEOTV Pod. We haven't said any of that. Nico, let's dive right in.
Don't worry, Winnipeg fans. I don't have hatred for you, or else I could get on my chair again and do the same thing I did last night to what we've done to Hellebuck through three games and just whoop that fucking ass is all I'm going to say. But I'm not going to get up. I already got some comments about that. I'm not going to do it again.
Who made the comments?
Family members is all I'm going to say. That's all I'll say. And I'll leave it at that. Expect the same from me tomorrow night when we sweep them. But look, the domination from the Avs. 15 goals in three games against the Vezina winning trophy winner. Georgiev is getting confidence back. McKinnon's flying. Bucks are flying at the net. The defense is playing great team defense. Not making many mistakes. Yeah, you're probably going to have one or two man down situations, but nothing stupid, stupidity wise outside of that 1-2 hand penalty. I believe it was game two, might be game one. Everything has been clean and very, very strong. And Bednar, the flow is flowing out of the back of his head. I wish it was probably, it would be better if his ears were a little bit better so he didn't have as much coverage on the ears so he could hear everything. But you know what? The flow is buzzing, the beards are rolling, and the Avs are back, baby.
It's playoff beard time. It's the best. We have we were posting a lot. It's on our TikTok, so everybody should go follow that at FEOTB Pod. Same handle for all the social medias. Let's go ahead and show. I put together a video of some of the stuff that I had. I'll make a bigger one because Nico sent me some more stuff, and that we'll put that out either on our. We'll probably play that just during our normal episode because I don't want to have to give myself too.
We're not demonetized NHL. These are our videos. Relax.
These are our ones. Yes, because even though I took out the other ones for the WWE video, they still stayed after it. So NHL, this is from
our videos. My
camera.
My phone.
My phone. It's my stuff. All right, everybody, enjoy. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
things got a little heated there at the end. That was nice to see. I called it. I said that we were going to have at least one fight, and it didn't happen in regulation, but we got one towards the end.
I don't know where the NHL broadcast cut off, but there was a good 5 minutes after the game ended where the guys were still on the ice. All over the ice, by the way.
I have that picture here.
There's blood. Yeah, blood all over the ice.
Yeah, no, I think it's Duhame or whoever. I don't even know who was fighting Duhame.
Our friends at Teletubbies said that it was a Winnipeg fan. Well, Winnipeg, not fan, sorry, player. So us standing over was very, very fitting. I'm not sure who it was. We obviously couldn't tell from where we were sitting, but we saw the blood. Everyone's like, oh, you could hear that gasp. But yeah, it was a hell of experience. Look, the home ice advantage is so important. And like I said, when the Avs stole one on the road, the life out of that building got sucked out of it. Everyone was talking about Winnipeg this, Winnipeg that. The whiteout is unreal. Winnipeg is not built for the playoffs. Their goalie is not built for the playoffs. He's not built for the pressure of 18,000 pom-poms looking like snow coming down on you. He's not prepared for that, plain and simple. And the Avalanche used it to the advantage. Obviously a rough second period, but the third period, it felt like the ice was shifted. Only one side of the rink had goals. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. That ended up that way. We didn't see one goal on our end, but we saw all the goals on one end, and it seemed to feel like the puck was bouncing a certain way on one end. Puck was gliding a lot easier. And I told you while we were at the game, it was like it feels like I can protect Georgiev on this side. I don't know. I felt like I was looking over him. I could give him my energy. Georgie, good vibes.
No goals.
And obviously, it doesn't fucking mean anything. I felt like our little corner definitely had the love for him, and he felt confident in our end of the ice for a reason. So, but yeah, what a hell of a game that was.
Let's go. So starting things off, first period, they ended the first period up 1-0. Zach Parise, first of two goals tonight. Zach Parise, actually, they didn't give him any other ones. So first, it was the second goal of the playoffs, assisted by Manson and Mittelstadt. This is – you kind of always need that. When you want to go on a run, you have to pick up some veteran. It gives you good mojo, but also the veteran that's able to – it was a big moment. It's a big thing when you come out and you're playing at home. If you can get out 1-0, you're – even though they did lose the lead, which we'll get to in the second period, I feel like once we had that 1-0 lead, it was a collective – It feels like that Nuggets thing where you don't sit until we score. And we scored, everybody was kind of like, okay, this does seem like we're going to be able to get to Hellebuck. It does seem like we're going to put shots on net. And I believe we ended with 40-plus shots on goal, which, I mean, he stopped a good majority of them, let in six, and let him in the worst possible time.
Technically let in five because the last one was an empty error. Either way, like, look, the thing with Hellebuck is like he's not known for playoff success, and look, everybody, their mother in this town wanted Georgiev to not play, wanted him to get replaced, and look what happens when a team gets behind a guy. Because right now Winnipeg got that lead in the second period, and I never really felt a sense of panic. I'll be honest with you, I love standing out and just standing in the concourse while the intermission is going on, and I do that during the halftime of the Nuggets too. During the intermission, I just people watch and see what people are talking about. And I was standing around a group of seven people, Winnipeg fans, that all seemed to find each other and didn't know each other, but started talking Winnipeg Jets, and I was like, all right. You guys are getting a little too confident after that second period,
Maples are up.
There was never a sense of panic. I felt like the two goals Georgiev let in were very, very tough saves, and one was off a power play as well that was very, very tough. And the power play was huge in the first game, right? We had three power play goals, I believe it was. I don't think we had one in the second. We might have had one.
We were 0 for on the we were 0 for in the second game.
The power play unit came out tonight and was firing. We only scored
the first and second unit.
First and second line were firing. Like, we may have not been successful on every single one, but you could tell the pressure.
We had one where we didn't score. That was it. Out of four penalties, we had one that we didn't convert on.
You could tell the pressure was there. And even though the puck didn't go back in the net, you had Winnipeg on their heels. trying to come back from detrimental defeat here. And the Avs are very, very good at keeping pressure up.
I feel like we've seen a total flip in how this defensive team and the guy that was in front of us, shout out. I wish we would have got his name, and I wish we would have been able to tell him to tune in to the postgame show. We didn't mention that. We were too locked in and too focused on what was happening on the ice. Shout out to the people that were sitting next to us as well. That they were a pretty cool couple.
Nice couple, yeah.
I owed him $20 because I said I would give him money if we had to scooch past him to get to our seat. He goes, "Yo, that's a $20 toll." I said, "Hey, if we get to 3 goals, I'll pay you $20. I had a 20 cent in my wallet. He was a good man. He did not take it, but shout out those guys. The defensive strategy, the defensive philosophy, and just the performance of the defense is such a different level. Power play wise, power or penalty kill wise, 5-on-5 wise, instead of trying to play some sort of formation, which to me seems very much like a zone defense in basketball, you're playing more of a man-to-man style, but you're pressing. You're always pressing towards the puck. And yeah, you might have a couple times where your goalie has to make a save because Parisi gets crossed over just slow because he's trying to make a move. But we talked about it in game one. If you know, like you told me, you tell your lacrosse guys, 90% of the kids we play are right-handed, force them to go left. Make Winnipeg make a move. If you let them sit and cycle and just skate around the zone with the puck, that's where they get dangerous. That's where we saw the dangerousness come from. That's where we saw those 2 goals in the second period. So the score ends 1-0 in the first. Tyler Toffoli and Josh Morrissey both get goals in the second period. Morrissey's was a power play goal, which was a little bit – I feel like it was ticky-tack. They obviously – I feel like they had in mind that they were going to give each team a penalty. And I guess Winnipeg got the first penalty in period two, and they were going to try and give the Avs one back. In period three, we'll talk about period three because penalties were a massive part of that sequence. The only times where I feel bad about this team is when they're trying to play that slowed down style. They're built on movement, and I know you have to be in great shape, and I'm sure it's tiring as hell to have to skate as much as these guys do. I'm sure McKinnon, Trennan, like all of these guys, you're going 200 feet back and forth. I'm sure they went over 18 miles just in distance traveled on the ice. But that is where this team is good. That's where they were good 2 years ago in the cup run. Think about that Edmonton Western Conference Final Series. It's sealed in Edmonton by Mikko Rantanen making a diving play on the back check and getting himself into a breakaway on an empty net. We're seeing a ton of that from everybody up and down the lineup. These guys are laying it all on the line. The defense has totally solidified itself since game one, and Georgiev has responded in kind. Like we said, Georgie needs to be better. But giving up 7 goals can't all be on your goaltender. Your defense needs to be better too. And Taves, Makar, Walker, Jack Johnson, Sammy G's back tonight. Shout out 49, Sammy G. He had a – didn't – I can't – I guess I have it up in front of me, so I might as well look. Did not – made the scoring sheet, so he got his first assist. Did not get a goal, but he played lights out. Everything just seemed to go right. And like we said, even in the second period, after the Toffoli and the Morrissey goal, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay – what are you going to do in the third period? How are you going to stop us from getting the Hellebuck in the third period? Because even though we have not scored in this second period, we're getting close.
Three straight games of 40-plus shots on net is not some accident. I hate to tell you that. That's just how much – and the Avs realize if they throw pucks to the net, the Hellebuck is going to break. And the floodgates will open, as you said in the third period to me. Floodgates will open, and they opened, right? You had five goals in the third period, which is we had four of those goals in the first 10 minutes. Like it was an absolute crazy run at the end of the game there. But when you look at how, and as Jim is showing that playoff beautiful playoff shirt on for those that are
just making
live,
sure everybody's as you're listening to Nico wax poetic about the Avalanche, we do have these available.
The dump off play is something I rarely see in hockey, but the Avs do so perfectly. Because from the top, it's usually McKinnon or Cale Makar, the wingers or our fast guys like Mikko Rantanen's company, they skate without the puck, right? They bring the puck up and then they almost do. I love the Mighty Ducks, and everyone knows Mighty Ducks is my favorite movie of all time. The Ducks did this where Charlie Conway, Adam Bakes would just run forward and leave the puck where it's at and not touch it, and someone would come behind them and take the puck. The Avs are doing that. They're running circles up top, leaving the puck for Cale Makar or Sammy G to have a great chance at a shot up top that is dangerous. Because you're so focused on the speed of McKinnon, so focused on the power of Nichushkin and Rantanen, they're like, fuck, these guys got shooters from the top that I cannot – that are getting open shots. And yes, Winnipeg is blocking a lot of shots. It's helping Hellebuck a lot. It's helping Hellebuck a lot. But those 40 shots do not count. Those are 40 shots on goal. Those are not 40 shots that were fired. So I would take a guess that were another 20 were probably fired and blocked. So it's 60 shots that were on net, and you continue doing that, it's going to be very, very tough to beat. Because like I said, you can break goalies. You break the will of another goaltender, that goes a long way. We thought that Winnipeg broke the back of Georgiev, and then he has a performance where he's out playing the Vezina winner in back-to-back games.
Two games in a row. And you know what else I'm thinking about now that we're sitting here talking about this game? We've been talking about puck luck a lot. Tonight was not a night where you could look there and see that the Avalanche were lucky on a lot of those plays. It was plays that they were making. So we still have yet to see a game where Mikko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon prove that they're the number one, and Cale Makar. I'm going to throw Cale on there.
MacKinnon has three straight games of 3 points.
But I'm just saying, like, they haven't broken out and scored three goals in a game like we know they are capable of. So, A, we're looking for that. B, when the game – like, think back to that Nashville series when we swept them during the cup run. What was that first goal? It got shot so hard that it went through the net, and it was confusing to see. Like, the luck – there's going to be a game where we get lucky on a lot of these plays, and it hasn't happened yet. The fact that you're waiting on that still this deep into a playoff series, going up 2-1 as the road team, that's – it's insurmountable. Just make sure that you don't – I mean, I don't think that they will, but now is not the time to rest on what you've done. Continue with the game plan, but obviously – they're going to break Bonus. Bonus is going to make adjustments. But I would say that the Avalanche have not had, like we said with Mike Malone last night, the Avalanche have not had to make that many adjustments. We haven't had to show that many cards. We don't need really – I mean, we're playing everybody with everybody. There's no real lines.
It's a lot of unselfishness. And when I talk a lot of unselfishness with the Nuggets, I think it goes to say about the Avalanche too. What we saw last year in playoffs, and I'll keep bringing it back up, it was, please, Mac, please, Cale, please, Mikko, save us. That's what it was. Tonight you saw Parise get in the mix. You saw Casey Middlestat, who I think is still looking for his first ever playoff career goal, gave up a wide open shot one-on-one with the net to give an assist to Lekkonen on the back end that was wide open. Like this is the unselfishness of this team. And like I said, you have guys diving on the ice. You have guys, like I said, our third or fourth
Devon Taves taking the hardest high stick to the face that I think I've world, ever seen.
Breaking blood. And you have your third line, fourth guys that are scrapping. It's not you don't like years past. It was Big Z. It was
Landy.
It was obviously Landy. You're having your third or fourth line guys scrap and not get punked around, and that's what. And they're competing. They're competing with other top lines. Kyle Connor, Scheifele, and I can't remember the other winger. We're out there to finish the game.
Is it Niederreiter?
That sounds about right. Niederreiter was might be the last one. But you had Trennan, you had Duhame, and you had
I mean, think about the line that they always when Winnipeg scored those two goals. The line that they put out was Parisi, it was Middlestat, and it was Colton. Yeah. It was Cogliano, and it was Wood because Parisi was down there. But that was the energy line. Like, okay, gave up a goal. These three are going to get the puck back in the offensive zone. I don't know if they're going to get shots on goal, but they're going to make life miserable for you to get it out.
And these third and fourth lines, the physicalness is there, right? They're not getting punked at the end of the game. Like Winnipeg tried to force a hand, tried to get an upper hand by winning a fight at the end of the game to give them momentum to game four.
But did you see their bench?
Yeah, they were like, oh, all right, whatever. We just got our ass kicked. I guess we'll our blood is on the ice now. We already made one of their guys bleed. I guess our blood's on the ice now, and physically not, and also emotionally. But I did not see that last year from our third and fourth line. I did not see that at all. And obviously this team has went over some long haul change. JT Compher gone, obviously Andrei Burakovsky gone from 2 years ago. There's a lot of depth that is brand new. And this group seems to be way different than the group's past. Because I remember specifically beginning of that Seattle series, we did not dominate game 6-2 like this. And it was because we were getting no offensive production from the back six.
And we weren't able to get the damn puck out of our own zone the way that we have been, and we've been getting it. That's been the biggest thing. And I told you because I guess now we can switch over to the third period. But in game three, Rick Bo or game two, no, it was game three. In game We just watched game three.
Damn. Yeah, we just watched game three.
In game two, Bonus was scared to pull the goalie because he saw the defensive positioning. Like, the sticks are never – they're never leaving the ice. We can't get anything into their zone. It's pointless. Why would I pull the goalie? Because they're going to get it. They're going to shoot an empty net, and we're going to be down.
It's scared. He's playing. He's coaching scared, and you've already and Bednar already has him circled because I don't understand how you have an offensive zone faceoff with 4 minutes left. You're down three at the time. You're down three at the time. You're 4 minutes left to clock. You're man up already, and you don't pull the goalie. Two guys on the ice makes a massive difference. A positive, massive difference. And that's at that point. I don't even care if you can keep it in your zone. You have to at least show that you're trying to win this game. It did not feel like that. It felt like he conceded, plain and simple. He pulled Hellebuck so that the Canadian media wouldn't be on his ass for not pulling him at all. Like I don't understand why down three goals you decide to pull your goalie with 2 minutes left. It does nothing for you. It is putting lipstick on a fat pig.
Trying to put a band-aid on a bullet hole.
It's trying to cover up an already massive defeat. And like I said, Bonus, last year they lost four straight. It's two straight now. They've lost after winning game one.
They look the exact same because Vegas, I would say that the other night was good, but it wasn't like uber dominant.
Yeah.
Tonight looked pretty damn dominant.
Dominant, especially the last 20 minutes.
In the third period, you get four goals. I know one of them was an empty netter, but it was an empty net shorthand goal. Winnipeg pulled out all the stops. They had six on four because they had the penalty and they had an extra attacker on with the goalie pulled. And Taves still stood in front of Georgiev, took the puck to the chest, and then sent it down to the other end of the ice. Yeah, game.
It breaks the will of a team. Like you can look. We want to say, "Oh, new team, new era, new motto, new culture, all that." The fact they lost four straight last year, it is creeping to every single one of those dudes' heads, and more specifically, it's creeping to Hellebuck's head. You got six goals on you in game one, and you only won by one. That's how much this team has your number. Plain and simple. It took the worst goaltending performance Colorado Avalanche have ever had in their playoff history for you to beat us. Plain and simple. Beat us by one. This is a must win for Winnipeg. Must win for Winnipeg game four. You don't win game four, you are going home and you're losing, or at game six, it's over very easily. It's not going to get to game seven. If you're Winnipeg, you have to get this to a three game series. It is no ifs, ands, or buts. And if you do, it's already over. Because, like I said, breaking the will of someone – I talk about this when I talk about basketball. You don't think that the Los Angeles Clippers know their playoff history? You don't think Doc Rivers knows that he's coached –
Look to the Eastern Conference. Look at Toronto because they just teased a game at home the other night.
3-1 leads. It goes into everyone's head. That is the natural nature of human – anatomy and the body and our thoughts and how we go through in mental psyche. That just happens. It doesn't matter who it is. There's still a core over there in Winnipeg that lost four straight games. And they just walked and they just lost home ice. And they lost by four goals in back-to-back games where the Avs just came in and fucking put it on them and said, "You're not winning this game." Playing simple in the third period. That's all that happened. Third, both last 20 minutes of both game two and game three, the Avs said, "We're better than you when we're going to show it."
And that's better than that was you. A difference. And we know it.
God, I love that movie. But yeah,
I love Goodman.
It's going to take, like I said, I expect another raucous crowd for game four. We won't be in attendance. I have a game I'll be coaching, but I expect a very, very strong performance. But like I said, the last 20 minutes of both third periods, the second period is where it really has been trouble. And the third period in game one was the worst of all the periods. The second period has been the biggest trouble. So I don't know if Bednar needs to make a decision, be like, "Okay, we need to do something different to get ready for the second period," or what, because the second period is where things have gone awry in games two and three. If you can play like you have played in the third period for all three periods, I don't know if anyone can beat you. I'm being that simple, because the strong power, the confidence that Georgia have, it's something not a lot of teams can copy. Plain and simple.
Yeah. We're kind of coming up on the end of the episode, so I'm going to throw this back up here. Let's talk about our star of the game, presented by Bonfire.com, the merch store that you can get all variety sports network stuff. So you can get our boys over at Fatboy Fadeaway. We still have the Bengals tees up there, the hat that you see me rocking, Variety Sports Network hat. Plus, we have the playoff shirts, and we have the MVP shirts. I'm going here through here, 29-15. We'll get the Nugget shirts up there. I'm sure Brandon's working on that as well. But bonfire.com/variety-sports-network. You guys can see it up on the screen if you're watching live, or if you go back and watch the YouTube episode. Be sure to check that out, because we try and come up with something for at least every season, or if we make a playoff run, then we can all obviously make some new stuff. That's something that we have there. Star of the game. Who's the biggest performer? Let's go underrated, and then you can pick somebody that everybody would pick. But who's your star that stood out to you that maybe probably wouldn't have been picked by somebody else?
I'll start with underrated, because I think the underrated player tonight, and I've really – watching him in person and watching what I've seen from him lately, I'm going to go Jack Johnson. Look, when you lost Eric Johnson this past offseason, there was really a need for a veteran defender to step in and make the smart plays, calm the team down. I saw a really, really strong play from Jack Johnson. I know I gave him a lot of shit for game one, but the way he cleared the puck.
Everybody sucked in game
one. Everyone sucked game one. The way he cleared the puck, the way he made sure that Georgia was making as many easy saves as possible, where he's made his life so much easier, should go without notice. And like I said, Kale and Devontae's, and Sean Walker specifically, are meant to be the workhorses of that defensive unit. But Jack Johnson has stepped in, been perfect, and did not make any mistakes tonight. And I believe that Casey Middlestad goal, or the second goal that Casey Middlestad passed to him, I believe that was a Jack Johnson clear out that he found up the ice. So I'm very, very happy to see what Jack Johnson, he's filled that Eric Johnson role. Because we knew what was the bubble and the year after the bubble, like what happened with this team when it didn't have Eric Johnson. There was not a veteran presence back there to calm the young guys down, to calm the kids down and give them some momentum. Jack Johnson, and then they're not kids anymore because his defensive group is veteran playoff experience, but I believe he played very, very good and has been a great, great presence in the back to calm everyone down and make the smart plays and not overextend and make dumb plays in the back end. So that's my underrated player.
I'm also going to go defenseman. I'm going to go with Josh Manson because, again, in game one, he started off 10 great minutes of hockey and then totally tanked himself down to possibly one of the reasons why game one was as bad as it was. He's a physical presence. He's the biggest guy that we have left on the team. I would say him, Miles Wood, Mikko Rantanen are like the physically biggest guys. And of those three, Josh Manson is the one that you'd send into any kind of physicality situation. So I'd like what Josh Manson has been doing. And he was making a lot of plays where he was blowing edges, but he was getting up. It's hustle. It's all hustle. You could tell last year when we were playing against Seattle, I wanted everything to go well, but Manson was hurt. Kale didn't look right.
Obviously, Val wasn't there.
Like, again, I'm going to say it pretty much every show that we have. No Ukrainian women, Val. Stay away from the Ukrainian women. We don't need that here. Let's continue on whatever we have going here, but let's talk about the four goal scorers that the Avalanche had in period three: Nathan MacKinnon assisted by Rantanen and Makar, Val Nichushkin assisted by Rantanen and MacKinnon, Lehkonen assisted by Middlestad and Taves, Colton assisted by Middlestad and Girard, Taves assisted by Cogliano. That's the empty netter that made it 6-2. But those four goals, you get a goal at 2 minutes into the third period, 4 minutes into the third period, 8 minutes into the third period, 12 minutes into the third period, and then the final nail in the coffin at 16 and a half minutes. It's like clockwork. Like, Jared Bednar has to be sitting on the bench like, I got to find something. I mean, I'll find something in that second period, but this third period's damn near perfect. It's a beauty, eh? Beautiful game of hockey, eh?
It was absolutely beautiful. I'm going to go my number one star of the game. And I've been looking around, and I really I want to talk about this guy a lot because I think it was the most important acquisition we made at the deadline. It's Casey Middlestad. I could say Valeri Nichushkin. I could say MacKinnon again. I could say Kale. But what I saw from Middlestad today, seeing him live in person, I saw a lot of gritty plays. It's making a smart play, not being a team player. And obviously,
he's got a magnet on the end of his stick. He doesn't let anybody take the puck off his stick.
And obviously, like having that momentum of never playing a playoff game and having that energy of getting a first home ice playoff game, he felt it. And He plays with a team first attitude. He's the quarterback of the second line. Yes, I know that second line sometimes consists of Branson or Val and Lecky, and those guys obviously have a lot of player experience and a lot of greatness. Millsap seems to be the point guard out there, making sure guys get the puck to where they need to be. He makes the dirty play in the corner, in the corners of the rink, and getting the puck out to our defenseman so we can clear it. He made all the right plays tonight, in my opinion. And like I said, we haven't had a 2C since, and I don't want to say, I'll even say this, Kadri wasn't doing, he was a goal scorer. He wasn't doing the dirty plays like Millsap has. And like I said, I told you during the game, Casey Millsap is a name for a bull rider in fucking Alberta, Canada. Like, the dude looks like he should not be a hockey player, but he is a damn tough son of a bitch. And he has that perfect team first attitude. And as a center, he takes that ownership of being the playmaker and making these goals.
He's playing both ends of the ice.
Absolutely.
Both ends of the ice, offense, defense. You need to keep that guy around because he's not as good as Kadri is right now. He's about 3 years younger than Kadri was when he was in his prime here in Colorado.
And we don't. And the difference between him and Kadri is we expect Kadri to score. We need him to score. We don't need Casey to score.
Like, no, we just need you to be a lighter version. Like, obviously, McKinnon is your number one C. Yeah. If you can get McKinnon light at number two C, we'll probably be pretty damn successful if we have McKinnon light. Oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually. So Casey Mittelstadt, Buffalo, the fact he's already called you out, so I don't have to rehash it, but the fact that he said he's never sweat in an NHL practice before he came to Colorado, you can tell, like, him, I would say Trennan, Sean Walker, all the guys that we did bring in, Parisi, all the guys that we brought into the team. Like we said with the Nuggets, there's 15 brothers in that locker room. However many guys are in this Colorado Avalanche locker room love each other. They want everybody to do well for the other. Like, nobody gives a shit who wins the Conn Smythe as long as this is the team that could possibly hoist the Stanley Cup. And I'm not saying that it's a done deal because there's some other teams. I mean, look at the other Western Conference Finals – or not the Western Conference Finals. Look at the other Western Conference Series. There's teams that are scary all around. Plus, then you go to the Eastern Conference and look at Florida and Boston. There's teams all around that can be scary. But if this team does what they need to do, it is because they care and love each other as much as they do. Like, they're all 100% in on each other, and that's what Jared Bednar, Chris McFarland, Joe Sakic, this Colorado Avalanche organization can always hang their head on, is that whoever is here wants to be here, and they want the best for this team.
Absolutely. And that's a kudos to McKinnon and Cale, because obviously when you don't have a captain out there, it's hard. A lot of teams that lose a captain like the Avs have and hasn't played in 2 years now, it can break a locker room. It can break a locker room because you look to the guy who has a C on his chest to lead the team. But like I said, we have three captains on our team, four maybe if you count Mikko. Like what Cale and McKinnon expect from everybody, they will expect you to do what they will do. They will never expect you to do more than them. They expect you to make the smart play, get teammates involved, and feed the horse. And the horse that is the fastest motherfucker on two skates in the open ice that you'll ever meet in Nathan McKinnon. So I this character, and like I said, it's 2-1. Series isn't over. It's far from over. Still halfway there, and I'm very. But what I've seen these last two games from Georgiev and this defense can give me a lot of hope going forward. It's just now, like I said, you have the lead. And the Nuggets did this perfectly. You have a lead. You step on their throat. You do not give them life. You do not give them life in game four, and you finish them. And because like I said, you have bigger goals than being the Winnipeg Jets. Your bigger goal is to be in the Winnipeg Jets, plain and simple. They're just the first stop and four stops along the way.
We'll definitely be keeping up with the rest of the playoffs when we have our episode that happens next week. Tomorrow night, we'll have post-game for the Nuggets because they could possibly end their series and get a little bit of rest before the second round of
give
the playoffs.
Give us some rest and give us some rest from having to do a playoff post-game show for the Nuggets. That also just saying, nice.
It might not be the worst thing in the world. And then Sunday, obviously, it'll be middle afternoon because the Avalanche play at 12:30 Mountain Standard Time. So it'll be early on in the day that we get to talk about whether or not this team is taking a 3-1 series lead, 3-1 stranglehold, or it's a best of three. I still trust this team in a best of three. I know that everybody was doom and gloom after game one. It was warranted because of what we had to deal with last year and what we dealt with the years before we won the cup. the San Jose series, the Dallas series. This team has not earned. It's not like Vegas it's unearned. Yeah, the Vegas series. It's not like it's unearned that people are nervous. People are scared. But so far, and then, so far, it looks pretty damn good.
And obviously, I'm not going to believe when you say that. But look, the NHL is as even as it'll come. I've said this multiple times. There's, or you can make a case for four or five teams to win the Stanley Cup very easily. Like playing simple. I can see Dallas going on a run. I can see Vegas going on a run. See us going on a run. I can see Boston, Carolina, New York. I mean, there's a handful of teams you're like, you know what? It makes sense if they get hot at the right time. And like I said, it's unfortunately with the playoffs, it comes with the most talented team, but also the most luck, the healthiest team, the team that is able to make the smartest plays and get out of series as quick as they can. It goes a long way. Because like I said, when you finish teams off quickly and make life easier on you, you are healthier and stronger for that final series if you get to that point. So it is important to close series out, close games out when you can. And like I said, prepare accordingly. It is a massive advantage to have a week or so to prepare for a team. If a team's going through a seven game series, it absolutely does. And the Avs are able to win game four. I would love to see an absolute domination in game five.
All right. That brings us to our final segment of the live show. Predictions first for game four of the Nuggets series. What do you have going on tomorrow night? Are we happy tomorrow? Are we celebrating or what's going on after game four?
This team is not going to give me bad advice. Even if you lose, then I just get to chant "Who's your daddy" at LeBron. So you know what? Like, it's a win-win scenario. You're either going to get laughed off the court here, or you lost 12 in a row. And because of what has happened in the Minnesota Phoenix series, I want a game four win. It makes it that much important because it looks like Minnesota is going to sweep Phoenix because Phoenix is that bad. And I've continued to say this. They sold the farm for a first round sweep. Get the brooms out, okay? Because Minnesota is that much better. So it is important to get out of this first round series unscathed. Move on. Fuck you, Lakers. We don't care about you anymore. We are on to bigger, better things, and our goals are bigger than you. So it is important to get unscathed, and I would love to see a game four win. So I'm going to predict a game four win. And see what Minnesota does on Sunday and see if Minnesota is able to get a sweep as well. And like I said, the series will start next week. And here we go, right into round two for both these teams because they're destined to have a series again. After what happened last year with all the things that have happened during the regular season this year, these teams are destined to play against each other. So I would love to see the Nuggets sweep the Lakers, obviously get 12 in a row, move past the ownership and because we got bigger, better things to do. And I would love to see Phoenix at least try to get one win. So give me Nuggets win. Nuggets win by five. I'll say it's a close game that the Lakers show a little bit of heart, even though they have none.
I was going to say, I feel like LeBron's going to get injured at some point early on in the game. I had to switch hats last night. If you were watching the draft show live for Talking the Gridiron, because Terrell came in so hot about the Lakers. And I was like, motherfucker, dude, you're going down 3-0 tonight. I love you, Terrell, but God damn it, you knew you were going down 3-0, and we knew you were going down
3-0. They knew. That fan base knew. Like knew what was going to happen once you won that playing game. That's why I brought up that they needed to lose that game on purpose. They needed to fucking concede it, and because I feel like they could have at least had a small chance against the Thunder, because New Orleans has made it tough on Oklahoma City. They have not made it easy at all. So they would have at least made a series. They didn't stand a chance against the owners of that team. Not Jeannie Buss. Nikola fucking Jokic owns your team.
I'm going to let you go ahead and make your prediction for game four of this series as well. So game four of the Avalanche versus Jets. Do we get the 3-1 series lead going back to Winnipeg and end it on home ice? Or is it going to be six, possibly seven games? Does it go to a best of three with the Jets evening the score after Sunday afternoon?
I know I sound like a broken record when I say this, but like goaltending is the most important thing in the playoffs. I will stand on that hill. Like I talk about goalies probably more than anybody when we talk hockey, because I believe that importance is so massive. I have to believe that Hellebuck is due for a game. I would love to see a 2-1 Avalanche win in overtime, where Hellebuck has a game, but Georgiev on the other end matches him. So you're able to get one pass Hellebuyck, and the Jets are able to get one pass him.
Nico wants me to have a heart attack on Sunday afternoon. Is that's what?
All right, maybe 2-1 regulation game win, but I think it's going to be a little much. We've had way too many goals. I would be very surprised if we see another 6-2 scoreline or a massive difference. I think this is 2-1, 3-1 type of game, and give me the Avs on top.
I love it, but I'm nervous. I'm just going to say that. I would love to see the Lakers end the series tomorrow, so I'll make the prediction.
The Nuggets
end the series against the Lakers. Terrell's in my head. What can I say? Terrell's in my kitchen.
It's okay, Jimmy. They can sweep us in 4 or more victories on Sunday.
It's eight in a row in moral victories, Nico. I would like a moral victory every now and then, okay? I want to be able to – I want ESPN to coddle us once. I want to feel what that's like. You know, as the sibling, it's like when you watch the TV show or the movie with the sibling that never gets the love, and you're like, I just want mom to hug him once. I want to feel that warm embrace once, but I don't want to really have to deal with it. As far as Sunday afternoon, I do think that it's going to be close. It's going to be one goal. If it is overtime, okay, I can deal with it. They need to get an overtime game in before they play an actual legitimate contender, because I am already saying, I'm knocking on wood as I say this, the Avalanche are more talented, deeper, have more depth. Everybody seems to be firing on all cylinders, more so in Colorado sweaters than in Winnipeg sweaters. So I do think that this series can very well be 3-1 going back to Winnipeg. I do think that the Avalanche will take care of business Sunday, defend home ice, because this is – we were talking – the girl in front of us had it right. She's like, oh, if we wanted to buy tickets for Sunday, we would have had to buy them before the game even started. Yeah, because I bet you those tickets now are 300-plus for the 300 section, because it is a huge, massive game. Weather the storm. Maybe we'll have a bad first period and have to make it up in 2 and 3. As long as you can get 2 out of 3 periods playing your game plan, we will walk out of Colorado with a 3-1 series lead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the goal. Like I said, we're under 32 for double parade. And we're 5. We're 5. 5 is, like I said, 5's it's not what we want, but it's very, very helpful having 5 wins, especially 3-0 at Ball Arena. If the Avs can continue keeping that home streak alive at home, it's going to continue to be massive.
Real quick, before we wrap things up, we're going to end off with the video. I'll have it be the last thing you see before we go into our outro and end things here. Wanted to give you all a shout out because I got an email this morning early at like 7:30 in the morning, but I just wanted to let you all know, if you haven't seen, if you don't follow us, follow at FEOTB Pod. We are in the top 30 of Colorado sports.
Top 25. We're a ranked
top 25. Top 25. Big shout out first off to our buddies over at Tell It As It Is, Griffin and Christian. If you don't listen to them for Avalanche content, they deserve the credit that they're due. But we are top 25 as well. We have a few shows that are behind us. This was not something that I sought out. I got this was
it's
a not random
something I never
email.
Heard about. Yeah.
No, and it wasn't like a campaign. You can add your show in. Like, you can submit your own link, and that's great. If you, I'm not trying to throw shade at the shows that submitted their own link, but the fact that FeedSpot decided to find us in Colorado, that's what we're based off of. We love the Avalanche. We love the Nuggets. You love the Broncos, and I can tolerate the Broncos just as much.
Like, and we don't talk about the Rockies.
Well, nobody likes to talk about the Rockies. Why? Right. If we're talking about the Rockies, Nico, I feel like every time we talk, every time we start a Rockies segment, you and I both have to stand up. And I know that you're gonna get shit from your family, but we just gotta have that, like. The Rockies get beat by 14 again. But I love you all, Benchwarmers. I know that Nico appreciates it as well. This would not happen without you, so I wanted to make sure that you all saw this. Go through the other shows that you see as well here. But
we're very, very thankful. If you look at the top 10 shows on this list. If you look at the top 10 shows on this
you got Philip Lindsay and Zach Bye, which are two of the biggest voices in Colorado media. And then up at the top, you have, let's see, Chad Brown, and D-Mac, and Nate Jackson.
These are all shows where people are coming from radio. They have local radio shows, and like I said, two guys. Jimmy obviously has worked in radio, and I obviously have only done podcasting. But this is we cannot be more thankful. And like I said, it's not without you guys, and we appreciate it. We love this momentum we're having, and people are attached to the Avs, attached to the Nuggets, and attached to good vibes. I like to live by the motto: positive vibes only. And right now, it does not get more positive than covering two teams with high aspirations, with two of the best players in the world on each team. So we're very, very thankful, and this time of the year cannot be much better.
We are already planning on what's to come over the summer. Be sure to follow, subscribe if you haven't already. We'll make sure to convince you if you're somebody that's going to hold out until you see what's coming. But we're a big thank you is coming in the form of content. Plus, this is I counted it out yesterday, Nico. This is 7 days in a row that we've done a show now. Tomorrow will be 8. Sunday will be 9. Monday will be 10. Hopefully by Monday we're talking about maybe Monday's the day that we get off, but we'll end up seeing. This has been great so far. It's an awesome playoff run. Be sure to like, follow at FEOTB Pod, at Variety Sports _ all the shows out. If you missed our first round live show yesterday, Nico was on for a portion of it. We had a bunch of guys jump in. Terrell was on for the Commanders pick. That's over on Variety Sports Network. Want to give them a shout out. Obviously, we want to make sure high tides lift all boats. Going back to Gary Kubiak. Yeah, you probably appreciate that little saying there, Nico. But high tides would lift all boats. So we appreciate everybody that's tuned in so far. We appreciate everybody that's joined us on this journey. We're going to end off with the Avalanche video that I made. Plus, then we'll go right into the outro. But Nico, playoff hockey, in-person hockey just hits different.
It has been a long week, Jimmy, and the playoff run is just getting better. Playoffs are just getting better. So you thought we've been good now. You thought my spanking motion was hot. Now wait until we face Minnesota next round. Wait till the Avs go back on a cup run. Things are just going to get better. So keep going along the ride.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow after the Nuggets game. Be sure to tune in, subscribe, like, all that stuff. For myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host Nico Bryant, enjoy the Avalanche video that we have from game 3 of the win over the Winnipeg Jets. We will see you all next time.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.